And welcome to an episode of the Nintendo RTM Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Ah, boy, I hope you survive all this past April Fool's Day, because there's just so many fake news. Just fake news everywhere. And, my God. But overall, just hopefully you're living so far, everyone.
And Talia's Tyler.
Yeah, I was confused because legendary UNC basketball coach Roy Williams retired today.
I saw.
And I thought it was a joke. Like, I'm still like, there's like a 1% chance it's a joke still.
Yeah, it's not a joke.
I think he actually retired, but like, yeah. I was not sure for like 2 hours of the day. It was not fair. I hate April Fool's Day.
Yeah, I've honestly been so busy today that not only have I not been able to participate in the festivities of April Fool's Day, but I just haven't seen any like major jokes. I actually had to look up an article about, has there been any meaningful ones? Because the only one I saw was the Pokemon Bidoof thing that we'll be talking about later.
Yes.
But yeah, I saw that. I feel bad for him because, you know, he went out and, you know, he technically was in the tournament one last time, but it wasn't really a meaningful run, so... Oh, well. But hey, he is one of the greatest coaches ever, so that's appreciative. So, oh, yeah, but we're a Nintendo podcast, so we got some interesting things to talk about today. It's going to be a little bit of a lighter show, but that's okay. But we're going to all start off with, what have you been playing? And I'll go first, because I honestly haven't been playing much. I've had a very weird week, because last week I was incredibly busy. I was trying to get a lot of things done. And then this week I had a lot of time, but then I dedicated it to other things. And for whatever reason, I just haven't had an itch to go back to Bravely Default. I don't know why.
Edna's too tough. Edna's too good.
Yeah, she was tough. I mean, I know I have to grind and everything, and I'll do it, but... I just, you know, I just didn't have the urge and had other things to do, like watch Godzilla fight Kong, just saying. And so I've honestly only been playing Heroes, and even then I forgot to play that a little bit because I forgot about the Voting Gauntlet. And I actually have to say, the Voting Gauntlet that's going on right now, the Battle of the Healers, I have no favorites. Like, I just picked Natasha because I'm like, you know what, I kind of like her design, you know, the very, you know, holy white and all that stuff, but who was I supposed to pick? Riss? Oh, gosh, kill that guy. I summoned him so many times, he's like, I am a healer and I'm here to help you. I'm like, nope, feathers you go. So,
yeah, I'm actually, I chose Marie to go against Riss. It's just like, yeah, I think the only one I know is Marie just because of three houses, so yeah, I chose Marie to face against them.
Yeah. So we shall see. I'm counting down the days until Pokemon Snap comes out, because that will be something I'm sure I'll play for hours even when I beat the game, because I just want to play it. I just want to take pictures of Pokemon in the wild. Is that so wrong to ask for?
Right, so, we are in the month now. We are in the month.
I mean, can we just note that it's April now? Like, how? Like, we were such a rush to get to 2021, and now we're already a fourth of the way
incredible.
Through.
It's incredible. I was just telling my roommate this earlier. Like, this year just flew by, like, so far.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so such is life. But yeah, I honestly haven't been playing much. I will say, I want to talk about this lightly. We'll wait for news. I don't mind. But my main thing was watching Pokemon Journeys and reviewing that. So we will talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, hopefully next week the rest of this week, I'll be getting back into Bravely and trying to finish that off. So we shall see. But yeah, I don't mind having a light week. But Will has... had a much deeper week because of a certain game that has come out. So, Will, take it away.
So, yes, obviously, just to compliment, yes, I happened as well, considering Fire Emblem Heroes. And yeah, I actually managed to go and pull off, managed to summon a dagger. And yeah, the only thing that's very useful is basically she's a very utility based unit that with the Pathfinder. So, definitely a good unit to go for eight raids and just basically overall movement. So if you want to go for something that's like movement based, you want to go and summon dagger. But yeah, right now I just like, okay, got another legendary Edgard and her, so I'm done with my orbs. I'm right now sitting at nearly 525 orbs until the next major banner. So, or of course naturally the choose your legends, which I'm still, yeah, until the summertime when that happens. So yeah, just going to that. But yeah, going to the main topic, I have been playing, obviously everyone's been catching the fever on Monster Hunter Rise. And, man. We tried in the Discord before, and, like, when I said, like, this game is pretty much, is me, my going back into Monster Hunter is basically riding a bicycle. because the last time I played a Monster game was back Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate back on 3DS, and again that was a handheld and not compared to a full console, not like with like the recent Monster Hunter World. And yeah, just going back into Monster Hunter Rise is just it's definitely a bit daunting, no doubt about that, and definitely probably more daunting for newcomers just because there's just so much to take in and so much mechanics to play with the armors, from all different choices, just a lot of things to take into effect. But once you have the time to like really settle in and learn and actually read, because a lot of people don't like reading, and it's just like, yeah, it really then opens up a lot. And the best way I can really compare to this is like for the last entry of Monster Hunter World is that it is much more comfortable. It is like much more handheld, much more portable. Just it still is that full-on Monster Hunter experience, but is again meant for the Switch. And pretty sure that if you haven't tried Monster Hunter World, you're definitely gonna try Monster Hunter Rise, because this thing is just it just feels much more like improved. There's something that they've done much more better in regards to World. So I could go into a lot of details, but I'll try to make it brief. But just like going on these hunts, especially going, be it you can play as solo or play it as a multiplayer in multiplayer online, and I believe you do need to have a Nintendo Switch online, unfortunately. But yeah, going on these online hunts, just really going after these great big monsters, especially the poster child of Magmalo. Yeah, Magmalo, it is a very fun but tough beast to fight. Like, you thought like other pieces were hard. Yeah, the Magmalo is a very he is quite intense, to say the least. Like, there are a lot of reference videos out there on YouTube. You can definitely check them out. But yeah, Tyler, once you actually go into this and actually face the poster child of Magmalo, yeah, he is gonna be quite the fight. He's very fun, don't get me wrong, he's a very fun monster to fight against, but he will punish you if you're not ready. So overall,
let me ask you a question about the combat. So so I did get the game, but I haven't been able to play it yet. I only picked it up yesterday, unfortunately. So you can use different weapons, right?
Correct, sir.
And you choose the weapon in the beginning of the game?
Yes, you can actually they give you a longsword as default. You can immediately go and switch into different weapons of your choice. So you don't have to stick to one weapon. You can switch anytime you want.
Okay, and it's kind of like God of War combat, I guess, real-time action.
Yes. There's like each of the weapons have their own separate combo system, mechanics. So different play styles. Like for me, I always love my great sword, just because, well, it's slow, yes, but it just hits hard. Of course, there's the hammer, the duo daggers, the sword and shield, the interglaive. There's a lot of weapons, so you can definitely find your own play style once you like really delve into the weapons. So yeah, there's many different play styles.
Cool. Okay.
I've never played a Monster Hunter game. Like, I seriously have not, and we'll be talking about this a little later, but honestly, just because I keep hearing about how it's both time intensive and you have to be willing to like grind to oblivion to get, you know, weapons and armor and things. So
like, unfortunately, that is some truth to that. Like, that's kind of like the one of the major things about Monster Hunter. Like, there is, if you want to like really get the good gear and all that, sometimes there is that certain RNG luck that's sometimes the drops are so rare, and sometimes you could be very lucky to get like the plate or the gems, which yeah, I'm trying to like get the full set of like mono armor, and yeah, so far this thing isn't dropping that certain item. So yeah, there is that thing. So there is this some truth into that, but overall it's just, again, the hunting sense. Like, once that Monster Hunter hook gets into you, like, I need to go and like get this armor and then like continue go up to the Monster Hunter ranks, is that's kind of like the major hook of the game, which a lot of people love.
Yeah, I'm very excited to start playing it. Well, have you been playing anything else before I jump into my soliloquy?
Besides from that, I've also been continuing on with Ring Fit Adventure, and just as a quick tip for anyone who doesn't know, you know about like the offline 500 squeeze on your Ring Fit ring. You can actually send 500 each per day, so it isn't limited to 500 only. So you can actually send like 500 one day and then send another 500 the next day. So you can actually add up on your Ring Fit press and pulls on your regiment. So just FYI on that. And of course, naturally, it's been kicking on about Fall Guys, which, yeah, continue on to see the new season. It just got some dubs here and there, but also got some falls. So there's that. So overall, yeah, it has been quite an eventful week for me.
Nice, nice. Yeah, so I have, because I got Monster Hunter late like a clown, I have continued Dragon Quest XI. I'm in like the Switch exclusive content now, the midpoint between Act 1 and 2, and it took me about 40 hours to get there, so it's a long game. I'm kind of ready to be done with it, so I'm probably going to just like power through the second half as best as I can. But it's definitely... if you enjoyed Bravely and you're still craving some RPG action, I would recommend picking this up if you haven't already. It's definitely the ideal RPG for a beginner as well. If you're like new to the genre and you want to say if you like it, I would say Dragon Quest XI is a great, great example. So much of it's like, I would say it's a very, very good game. I'd give it like an 8 out of 10 so far. The combat is stupendous. It's like every encounter is appropriately paced. They don't really drag on too long. You can beat everything fairly quickly, but with just the right amount of challenge and strategy. And the skill tree is great as well. Just the story is fun too. But I have to say, JRPGs, I like them. I love them, some would say. I am a huge fan. But the stories in these games are a little ridiculous sometimes.
A little.
And Dragon Quest XI is no different. Like, it's a very positive game, right?
Yes, yeah.
The way these characters act is, it's absurd sometimes. So here's the scenario, right? I guess this is...
Shoot.
If you haven't played it yet, spoilers ahead.
It's been like 2 years.
There's been many years already. They have enough time.
Yes, but obviously skip ahead to the news section if you don't want to be spoiled. So you go into this arena, right? And it's this fighting tournament, and you get partnered up with this guy, Vince. And Vince is like very clearly using steroids. Win in these fights. So you like win the tournament, and then like also there's like this bang 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 noise, like fighters are going missing. It's like a pretty classic storyline. And you run to like this church where the sounds are coming from, and it's Vince's home, and you like descend into this cave where you're trying to figure out where are the fighters and all this nonsense. Of course, Vince is the bad guy, and he's taken these fighters to a spider who is sucking the life force out of them.
Okay.
And so, like, these people are literally getting their life essence sucked dry from this spider. Like, the spider is sucking their life out.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but even more ridiculous, you beat the spider, and everybody's like, "Oh, Vince, that's okay. You were just doing it because you needed to win, and you wanted to make money for these kids." Like, he gave them to this giant spider who is sucking their life out, and they just let him go. Like it's cool. He comes in. They still give him the trophy. Like they haven't done the prize. After you win, like the ceremony gets interrupted, and they still are like, and Vince is our champion. It's incredible. It's unbelievable that like nobody cares that he literally was giving them to this giant spider to get eaten. They were cool with it. They were like, well, he did it for the orphans, so it's totally fine. There's another just ridiculous scenario in that same area. Jade is like a party member.
Yeah. I love her. Yeah,
and
I like.
There's
her
like. There's several things. This game is a little messed up at points. There's something with Jade that is extremely screwed up, and it should not be allowed in the game. Anyway, I guess I'll have to explain that.
Now I'm curious.
Yeah. So first of all, let's just talk about Jade being an idiot. So she's the princess of, like, she's thought to be dead of Heliodor, and like they think that she died when she was a kid, and she, like, everybody knows her name was Jade, and she was the princess. Jade is walking around in this arena going by Jade. She's like, my name is Jade. I'm this like mysterious figure. Like, not one person was like, whoa, this mysterious figure named Jade. Could she be that princess who we never found? No, like, not one person thinks about it. Like, why does she not have a pseudonym? It's insane. So that is ridiculous. But the most ridiculous thing, this is disgusting, honestly. It's just gross. So in her interlude, and I'm sure Will knows where I'm going with this, the interlude chapters, she goes back to that arena to try to find the party who all get split up. And this like disgusting monster dude, it like took over the city, and she like goes into the arena to like try to fight him. and like he's like holding these people hostage, and like he like loves her because she's attractive, and he's like, you know, weird like that.
Right.
So he's like, I'm gonna kill these people if you don't put on this like sexy bunny outfit.
Yep, I know. I knew it was gonna be that part.
It's so messed up. Like, it is extremely disturbing. Like, when you think about it, like, at all, it is disturbing. So she like. Like, he holds her, she, like, has to put on this ridiculous outfit, like, that just totally, what am I trying to say?
You can call it the Playboy Bunny suit. We're a PG-13 podcast.
Yeah. So then she, like, goes into this, like, she gets sucked into this other dimension, and she, like, beats up this guy's girlfriend and, like, saves everybody. But when she comes back, the bunny suit is, like enchanted, and it like like fighting it, but it's, like, possessing her.
Yes,
like, it's extremely uncomfortable. She like he clearly like wants to do things with her, and like he has like he like mind controls her with this thing. It's disturbing. It's truly disgusting, and it should not be in this game. I'm sorry.
You can't really blame Dragon Quest because they have again like, even other games have also delved into such dark topics. There is like another
dark, and it's just like it's. The game should be rated M because of it, at least. Like,
I wouldn't like really go that far because, like, again, there's like sure, like, obviously compared to other games, like, for example, Octopath Traveler, like, you wouldn't expect it to be like such. Well, I mean, from its graphics and all that, you may expect some dark themes, especially with the whole blood sacrifice back what we played for. I mean, in Dragon Quest, it's obviously, again, the world of Akira Toriyama's art style, the Dragon Ball art style. Like, oh, this is very nice, but nope, it goes into like. If anybody here has watched Dragon Ball or any other of Akira Toriyama's artwork, prior works, you know, sometimes it can get a little bit, But again, like, for me, I have no problem with these things. I mean, yeah, it's dark.
You hear that, Tyler? Will has no problem with women being exploited like this. Gee, I wonder why.
It's for story.
Yeah.
I mean, for each his own good sir. But again, with all this, I mean, Dragon Quest with this one, you either love it or hate it. It's like, it's definitely up to personal preference.
There's a lot of like funny, like sex stuff in the game that's like.
There's a lot.
Yeah, but most of it's harmless fun. That is like a disturbing, like, truly.
It gets a bit on the edge, yes.
Like the brainwashing, like, you get it. The listener gets what I'm going. It's disgusting and just God.
It actually reminds me of the game. Technically the only Dragon Quest game I've ever beaten, which was Dragon Quest VIII: Journey of the Cursed King. Widely considered the best of the Dragon Quest games. Anyway, but the sole female character of your party, who is a great character, deep character, whatever, she has multiple scenes that are and motions that are questionable at best, including a point where they have to go help this pompous dick of a prince obtain a jewel or whatever, and he doesn't understand why he has to go marry the princess who's been turned into a horse. No jokes, please.
Yes.
The king is like, son, you don't understand, you know, you don't just need a woman, you need a woman who has a certain, and the camera pans to your female companion, and he goes, va, 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 voom, where, what parts of her body the camera pans to in the shot. So, yeah, and then she has an attack or move or whatever you want to call it, and let's just say that she tries to entrance certain monsters by cradling certain parts of her body.
Puff puff. In this game too, puff puff is usually funny. It's like the way they portray it, but it's still like when you're talking about it, gross.
I totally get where you're coming from, Tyler.
Yeah. So it's unbelievable. There is one more ridiculous thing I'd be remiss not to mention. This ice queen in, like, I guess towards the end of the first part of the game. This ice witch, and like. She freezes this town, and she traps the queen in a book, and like she like everybody is dead. They're like frozen as icicles. It's not good what she did. What she did is not good. She should probably go to jail for it. Mm. So you beat her, right? You defeat her. You suck her into this book, and she like uses her magic powers to escape it anyway. And like but you think it's actually the real princess who's escaped it. And like you go into this like into the tower where she's going to try to give you the orb that you need, but she's really trying to kill you again. And like the book starts talking to you, like, I'm the real princess. What? Yeah, all this great stuff. So you end up exposing the witch in the end as the witch, and like she surrenders because she's been beaten and she's out of her powers. And the princess who she trapped in a book said and froze all of her people and like destroyed her kingdom says, and I quote, "Well, while I was trapped in the book, this witch really taught me a lot about leadership
and
what it means to rule." I think we should just spare her and just like let her go. And everybody's like, "Yeah, that's cool. Like, good idea."
And might I recall, like, also recall as well, this is one of the games that is very renowned, including by Mr. Sakurai himself. So just FYI on that.
It's
oh,
incredible.
And Sakurai has never made a mistake before. Come on.
So again, the combat is fun. It's a good RPG. The story, I'm ragging on it. Mostly very good. Mostly enjoyable. Like,
yeah.
It's a good game. I'm engaged the entire time. Just some of the stuff that happens, I had to point out how absurd it is. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's definitely the bonkers. It's definitely that same flair that you expect from Akira Toriyama and other of the Square staff. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, my dream, and I was actually talking about this with a friend because of a story he had told me about something he's doing. But I dream of writing like a grand scale RPG, like a Xenoblade Chronicles or a Fire Emblem or whatever. And I have no doubt that the story I create will have some tropes in it. That's honestly unavoidable in certain aspects. But I do definitely want to steer away from like the stuff that Tyler and I were talking about, because that's the last thing I need is like some people going like, "Oh man, this game was so great, but then there's that one section with what, that female character and whatever and all that," and it's just like, yeah, I don't want people to talk about my game that way. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure that there will be, you know, compromises they have to make to, you know, lure people in and blah blah blah, but I want to have at least some integrity. I want at least, there will be no bunny suits on my female characters, okay? Like, yeah, I will not turn this into Fire Emblem Harem, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I do think, like, you know, there's a line where, like, sex is part of life, let's just be honest. I think that that can be a useful tool. You can't go where this story went and like have it still be like a happy, colorful game. It's extremely jacked up, and like it should be rated M because of it. Like, just no doubt. And for me, there's no doubt on that.
A great example I can give, and I think this is kind of ironic now that I think about it, is Mass Effect. Because think about it, when Mass Effect, the original Mass Effect came out, everyone was talking about the scene with Shepard and whoever you put them with, because someone got naked and you would see them, you know, at least partially naked. And everyone was in uproar about that because, you know, oh, like this in a video game, especially when the kids can play, you know, it's rated M for mature and everything and so on and so forth. But when you actually like watch the scene, while it is sensual, it's not
explicit.
Yeah, it's not explicit. And most importantly, there's a story behind it. It's you are building up your relationship with the male or female of your choice to get to that scene, so that when you reach that scene, you get that they have a relationship and a connection. It's not just, you know, press X to sleep with character.
Right,
and then you could,
right.
And then like Saints Row actually made fun of that in their
right.
Yeah, because you could sleep with anybody with the push of a button, and it's
with
like
anybody,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's meant to be stupid because it's Saints Row, but with Mass Effect, they actually built it up to where it was meant to be a meaningful connection. So, and like, in that you understand. And they never went over the top with any of it, regardless of the game. So, and that's to be praised. Unlike the ending of Mass Effect 3. Anyway, so, burnt! But no, like, that's what I'm going for here, is that, like, what Tyler was describing, kind of what I was describing with 8, you know, that's crossing a line, whereas Mass Effect, it only appeared to cross that line, but it actually at least had depth to it. So, yeah, but seriously, she got trapped in a book and then comes out saying, "I learned a lot about leadership." Really? That's like toxic positivity, man.
It is definitely like very cartoonish to the point of like being, again, it's like very, very unbelievable to say the least. Very cartoonish.
But Princess, she killed everyone. Yes, but their sacrifice allowed me to learn things. Uh-huh? Like that? Oh, really?
It's definitely an interesting line of thinking in these storylines, if anything else, or Dragon Quest. Like, there definitely is just, like, yeah, there's that overwhelmingly positive, like, dude, even I have my limits, like, okay, maybe I should, like, go in exile or just even send someone to death, but nope, this is a very kids-friendly game. Like, no, even through the greatest of all evils, you must see the light and then know that. Yeah, there's that, yeah.
All right, well, we're going to head now to the news. And it's honestly been a little bit light, but we got some fun stuff to talk about. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first, we're going to talk about, wait for it, Monster Hunter Rise. Because that game, which a lot of people were a bit concerned about when it got announced for Switch, and it wasn't just, you know, like an upgrade like Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, has done apparently very, very well. Because as we revealed last week, the reviews of the game are incredibly solid. You are hovering around, you know, 8 out of 10, 4 out of 5 territory. But now we've heard from Capcom themselves that the game has shipped over 4 million copies. Now, to be clear, shipped does not equal sales. Shipped as it means, you know, sent to stores. But you had to have a reason to send out 4 million copies. So clearly they had some indication this would sell well. So,
yep.
Yeah, because there are games that don't ship out 4 million lifetime, let alone within the first few days. So clearly it's already got millions in sales. So if my math is right, and this is to be taken at least, let's just say 75% literally, this is now the best-selling third-party title on Nintendo Switch within like 3 days of release.
That's the surprising part.
Yeah, because remember the original leader was Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which sold, I believe, sold over 2 million, I believe. So yeah, this is sold basically double that in like 3 days at the time of the news reveal. So that's very impressive.
Yeah, I'm just really happy with that. Capcom man is going to make another great product with Monster Hunter Rise, and just like see. Of course, naturally, Japan is definitely, they love Monster Hunter over there, so just note about that. But here in the stateside, it's just, I guess it's just continuing on from Monster Hunter World. And yeah, like when I was trying to get my copy in Nintendo NY, like they didn't have any of the Monster Hunter Rise collectors, and you only could get them like via either Best Buy or Amazon. And right now, Best Buy is sold out, and obviously eBay is just scalpers everywhere right now. So this product was. Yeah, it's just it is crazy how many people want this game, even just like the basic one and not the deluxe version. So yeah, a lot of people loved it, and yeah, there's definitely a fan base here of Monster Hunter. I mean, be it from Monster Hunter World from the other systems, or now with Monster Hunter Rise, it just shows that how this license just became so popular over these past years. So it just goes to show you that.
Yeah, it's not surprising that this is number one, because Monster Hunter is such a massive, massive series. To do it in 3 days is, I mean, that's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors that honestly went into this. The first one was the success of Monster Hunter World, because that was the game that really, not brought it to the West, because it's been here in the West, but like popularized it in the West. Like they made it so it was as Western as they could without sacrificing what Monster Hunter is. And that's why it sold, like, what, 10 million plus copies, not including PC? So, like, that helped endear people to it. And then the fact that Rise was its own title that you couldn't get anybody everywhere else, and they said that they made it, you know, for pick-up-and-go gameplay and all that, with, like, their, what was it called, Will? The, like, the rope line system or whatever?
Wirebug.
Wirebug system. You know, like, that brought people to the table and they wanted to try it out. So, you know, I'm glad that was enough for them to, you know, get new players, not unlike Tyler, to pick it up. I we'll talk about this a little later, but I would get it if I feel like I would like it. I'm not sure I would, though, because I do get wary of grinding for things. So, but to hear like 4 million in just a couple of days, and you know, I think it's going to only grow once people realize that it is as good as advertised. Our own King Koopa Keith has been doing some streams of it, if I'm not mistaken. So, this is big. This is big for the Switch. It's big for Capcom, and this might entice them to keep bringing their titles over. So.
Yeah, Cam, who did a review here in the Outer Haven, also, like, yeah, is also playing with it as well, also using a great sword. yeah, just this entire license, and yeah, Monster Hunter Rise, with how many people just play it. I mean, heck, my cousin, who also has a copy himself, is already in Monster Hunter Rise, like, 6 right now, just blazing through. I mean, granted, it's not really a long game if you want to go straightly for the story, but again, who cares who wants story on the Monster Hunter, aside from Monster Hunter World? But yeah, like, this title, like, again, like, the monsters are great, like, even from, like, returning monsters, like, the Kezu, which is, like, very alien-like, all that very, like, what was that, the liquors of Resident Evil, yeah, that was most close comparison, and, of course, just, like, the different monsters, and, of course, the Magnamalo, just how much you can get into, and just, of course, naturally play with friends online with hunting these monsters. Like, sure, there's definitely other titles like Tokiden, that's like another yokai-based monster that came probably before, even during the time of Monster Hunter. But yeah, and yeah, Monster Rise just kind of shows that it's that popular, it's just that good. Sure, it has some like faults, like the grinding and all that, but it just shows like people love this, especially now if you're caught into like a gaming drought. This is definitely a game you want to play like for hours and hours. And of course, with Capcom announcing that it will continue to support this game with new monsters, new like levels, definitely tune up like they did with Monster World, then yeah, you're looking at a very good game that it's like very that's gonna have a good lifelong system. So good support, to say at least. I think probably at my best estimate, probably like a year's best of support. So you can have this thing is definitely worth your buck.
All right, and I look forward to seeing just how well this sells. I think it will. I think it's gonna do well, like very, very well. Obviously, 4 million shipped already. That's already.
I'd be very surprised if it approached that like 10 million mark. Honestly,
that'd be huge. That'd be huge. Yeah. And if that does, then dang, Capcom is definitely gonna start bringing even more stuff to the Switch, you know, especially with it being as big as it is right now with 80 plus million sold.
I was like, I guess we want Capcom to also bring another certain Capcom license as well. It's like a certain lawyer's game, I think, I suppose.
I don't think they'd raise an objection. you know, let's go bigger though. Let's go bigger. Darkstalkers.
That is a long way to revival. Yeah, yes, that is
we need
long
it. It's time. Okay, if you're not going to give a Street Fighter on Switch in a meaningful way outside that HD 25 years plus Knuckles reboot, redemo, whatever. All right, give us Darkstalkers on it. Like, we got Marvel Ultimate Alliance. That was an exclusive to the Switch, so why not give us Darkstalkers? There are so many people out there who would love it on Nintendo Switch. Like, and I would bet it sells at least 1 million, if not more. So, just saying. And for Tyler, that I was gonna say Knights, but that's Sega, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Sega. Yeah.
But still, Sega, give us Knights for Tyler.
We don't want to go and talk about Sega right now because again, with a certain project of Badland Wonderland,
more like Badland Wonderland. They're allowed to whiff. Everyone is allowed to whiff. This is Sega's. Oh wait, wasn't that Sonic 2006? Anyway, so I wouldn't give that game a gold, more of a silver. So
listen, silver had a great theme song. People forget.
Right. It's like it wasn't terrible. He had a great theme song. Is that really the point? Yes. All right, moving on to April Fools. I, your great and benevolent, or is it benevolent? Who knows? Who cares? Host wanted to do a full April Fool's Day episode of Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, but I was told that by the time we published it, it would be April 2nd, so the magic would be gone. Fine, but there was some fun stuff on the internet April Fool's wise, and one of them actually came from Pokemon, because Pokemon, apparently celebrating the year of the Pokemon in the most hilarious of ways, decided to rebrand their Pokemon YouTube channel into the Bidoof channel and created a 45-second video honoring the glory, quote-unquote, of Bidoof. And that's it. Why Bidoof? Because it's not exactly a beloved Pokemon, so why not just go for the one that's kind of one of the worst? So, yeah. Nice one, Pokemon. I mean, they really went all out on they take the icon and everything, so... Yeah, a lot of people, and now people are all praising Bidoof. I'm like, don't you traitors! How dare you, like, say you love Bidoof now just because they made that video? Come on, have some integrity, a little. Okay. Also, among the April Fool's Day jokes was one from Yacht Club. Oh. Yeah, they were. they were announcing a new game that after years of development, construction, and planning, we are currently excited to finally pull back the curtain on one of our most anticipated projects. We have an opening in independent, we are opening an independent yacht club. Yes, Yacht Club is opening a yacht club, and it's captained by Shovel Knight. Okay! I mean, if that's the grave you want to dig, sure.
I mean, yeah, it's just kind of a little redundancy at least, but again, it's Yacht Club. They've known to make some pretty fun stuff, so yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah. All right, this next one is especially for Will. The team at WayForward, who you might know from Shantae and certain other titles, announced, quote-unquote, a game called Are We Soulmates or Am I Just Being WayForward? Aha. Aha. Aha.
Cue crickets. Cue crickets.
Yeah. The sad thing is, like, I'm sure that some Japanese game maker is going to take that title and turn it into that weird, like,
oh, you have no idea.
Oh, no, sorry. Will, trust me, I really, really do. I do.
Have you not seen the recent mangas and light novels of these ridiculous titles now?
I was more referring to the games on Steam, but okay.
Yeah, the games can also get really long titles too. Sure.
I was more referring to the content, but yes. Let's see. There was Tai the Tasmanian Tiger 4. So yeah, that's not happening. Little Nightmares 2 is having a cooking mini game. Apparently, it's the chaos in the school kitchen, and you have to fight a lunch lady. Okay.
That actually would be nice. I actually have seen a Little Nightmares gameplay, and that actually would be a nice level to say the least.
Bravely Default announced some DLC via Tales of the Asterisk Holder Prisoner. Yeah. No.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then part-time UFO men from HAL Laboratory. The art is what sells it. It really is. It's basically just fully grown men with the UFO head. So, not the best, but I think if we're being honest here, for the last, I'm going to be generous, like 10 plus years, like, we know not to trust
Right.
This, and I've gotten, trust me, I've gotten a few on the Outer Haven, like with my Travis Touchdown in DLC, or Metroid Prime 4 was going to have Dark Samus, and a certain, I think I did one more, but, I think I went on Star Fox. So I've gotten a few myself. I get the appeal, but after a while, you just know that you can't trust anything on the internet. So, yeah. I'm not surprised that there wasn't, like, a super big one. Like, IGN used to, for years, do
yes,
these big
yes,
ones.
Yes, yes,
like,
yes.
When they did that live-action Legend of Zelda trailer.
That was great. That was great.
That was great.
Game Explained did a Captain Toad cross with Bioshock.
Interesting. Toad Shock.
I think they called it Captain Toad meets Bad Daddy, or Big Daddy, or something
Big Daddy,
like that.
Yeah. If you would kindly please kill that Toad. Spoilers. So, yeah, like, I was honestly off the internet for most of the day outside of working, so I didn't see that much, but I do feel that unless you're willing to go big, like, big, you can't really pull off an April Fool's joke, because they know that you're gonna, they know they're looking for it. They're looking for it. So
yeah,
if we were to do it, like, for example, if one of us were to do it, I'd have two of us write a real article, and then we publish the real article, then publish the fake article, and then publish the real article. So it's like sandwich, and they go, oh, that's real news. That's real news. Oh, wait, I haven't heard about this one. And then they get lured in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bury the lie within the truth.
Well, like, yeah, like, as I said, like, over the years, over this past decade, and of course, naturally, with technology changing over time, like, yeah, the live action Zelda thing was great. And of course, obviously, this was like before the time of Netflix, I believe. I think that was the thing. So, yeah, we didn't know that, yeah, that would be so cool. But yeah, live action Zelda, would be nice, but we knew it was fake. But now, like, today, we have Netflix now, and, like, yeah, we're actually going to see, who knows, but maybe actually we'll have a real-life Zelda sometime down the line. And just, all these different creative ideas and like for these pranks of these April Fool's jokes, like from the again the Loki, you actually kind of made it the monkey's paw switch with that Travis touchdown of being in Smash, to say the least. So.
Well, he is, but he's not.
So, yeah, and just like all these different from companies. I mean, sure, a lot of them have fun because there's one from regarding to a Near Replicants. They actually like released the trailer and advertised it as like a slow farming game, a slow life sim game. So, like farming, fishing.
Yeah. Hey, hey. All right, next up, we actually have some real news. I know it's shocking. I get it. Project Triangle Strategy, the game that many of us here can't wait to talk about or play when it comes out in 2022, which apparently will be here about next week at the rate we're going. One of the producers, I believe it was, I'm bringing up the article right now, talked about the game in an interview because the demo, which is still out right now, has been played by quite a lot of people. And there's a lot of questions that came from it, including how long the game is going to be, because that's obviously a big question with the branching storylines. And so producer Tomoya Asano noted, quote, "We are planning for the game to have multiple endings. As for the game time, that's still up in the air. We always aim for around the 50-hour mark, but it never seems to turn out that way." End quote. Like, oh, isn't that always a wonderful problem to have?
So, wait, Asano was making this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so he made Bravely, too.
Yes, he did.
I did not connect those dots. I thought it was different. I don't know why I thought it was different. This game is no way it's going to be 50 hours. It's definitely going to be longer than that.
So, yeah, that's a good thing. And then he noted that there are going to be more characters, like, I guess playable characters and jobs in Bravely Default 2. So, and there's like what 20 jobs in Bravely?
Yeah, there's I think 24.
So yeah, so that's a lot of playable characters that you'll get to experience. And then as for when we can expect more details, quote, hopefully before it gets cold. Which is kind of not a smart thing to say because it's cold in some parts of the world right now. I would know. I live in Illinois. So like, doesn't that mean we're gonna get news soon? But yeah, and again, for all of you who played the demo, there's going to be a survey about it soonish, I guess.
Yeah,
because
they're
following the path of Bravely and Octopath, where you will be able to submit your thoughts about the game, and they'll be making corrections as such. So, still very excited for this game. This is easily one of my most hyped titles of 2022, alongside Arceus.
Yeah, like this thing is just really shaping up to be very nice. Like just that title. Like the next thing since Octopath Traveler, which I mean, Octopath Traveler is a great game in itself, like sure, but it definitely had its flaws. So to see this thing being a step up from that is, I'm personally excited. I'm personally excited as well, yes.
And then Tyler, you'll be interested to know that he did like a survey of his own team to see what path they played, and he said like well over 30% played both sides.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It was definitely. For me, it was in no doubt just to pick it right back up and jump back in because I wanted to see just how different those two paths were going to be. And that was in the middle of the game, but the decision was so huge that I'm sure that it feels like the multiple endings is just guaranteed based on, you know, what happens depending on which path you go down.
And I'm excited for this because I loved Octopath Traveler and I was fine. I'm happy with Bravely. Bravely was fun. I'm glad I played it. But I think that this one, Project Triangle Strategy, which they just need to change that name. They need to announce the new name as soon as possible. Don't delay. Just get it. What did we say the a good name was? Like the Scales of Fate or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was just called that.
It's like,
whatever the actual name for the scale was.
Yeah.
Scales of Conviction.
Yeah, there was Scales of Conviction. That's gravitas right there. Like, come on. So hopefully we'll get that announcement soon enough. All right, Platinum Games. Yes, they had it's hard to describe because they did this fake announcement last year and then they announced it again this year and apparently it's real because they are making a game called Soul Cresta. So, okay.
It's an interesting project. Like, yeah, from what I haven't actually saw this joke a trailer back. Like, was it last year or is it like
yeah,
was the year?
They
was
last. There was a. It was the April Fool's joke for last year.
Oh, so yeah. Now to actually say like no, it actually is real. Like, wait, really?
Yeah.
Like,
really.
And so, yeah. Like, I'm just seeing like the gameplay, but it's like if you love your top down arcade shooters, like airplane shooters back in the day, then yeah, this thing is definitely made for you. Like, back of like oh shoot, what was it? Like Ikaruga, all those shooters back in the Neo Geo days. Oh man, like yeah, this is definitely a game for you. So overall, it's okay. I'm sure, definitely scratching that nostalgia itch. So. Okay, fine. I'll take it.
All right. I have a small piece of breaking news. Apparently, the Japanese software sales for the last week have arrived. And not surprisingly, Monster Hunter Rise did very well there. It sold over 1.3 million just in Japan. So yep. that's confirmed million seller just in Japan. And remember, they shipped 4 million copies.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Not surprised.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but if they really like it, this could be like a super mega seller in Japan. This could be like almost their next Animal Crossing. We'll have to see. Oh yeah, and I forgot to mention the Monster Hunter Stories 2 Wings of Ruin. That was dated for I believe July 19th. So that there's something, there's even more Monster Hunter for you to enjoy when the time comes. Very nice. All right, and finally, this is what I wanted to talk about for a while, Pokemon Journeys.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally got through the quote-unquote final batch of episodes for Pokemon Journeys on Netflix. I have thoughts. Pokemon, you have one job. Don't suck. All right? You had the perfect setup for the Alola episode. Ash goes back to Alola and has fun with his friends. And what do? You screw it up by making it more about Go. I don't care about Go and Alola. Have him go catch 1,000 Pokemon like you always have him do in every episode. And have Ash reconnect with his friends. And what do? You don't do that at all. I am not happy. Then you bring in Mewtwo. Mewtwo, the original big bad, the original boss figure of the first movie. And not only does he not recognize Ash, Go tries to catch him like a punk. Alright? And thank God you had Mewtwo beat the snot out of both Ash and Go. Or otherwise, I would have been really mad. Like, he went full Dragon Ball Z. He pulled out a Shadow Ball that was the size of a Spirit Bomb. It was awesome. Alright? Go trying to catch him? Not so much. If anybody deserves to catch Mewtwo, it's Ash. Let's see. And then there was just the stupidity element, all right? And this actually ties into something we were talking about before the podcast with Godzilla versus Kong. But you really need to work on your human storylines here. Because Ash, at this point in time, is a multi-time champion of various leagues and side leagues. And yet he decides that he's going to send out a fighting-type Pokemon against Mewtwo. Gee, what's wrong with that picture? And then you, the writers, made a major faux pas in one of your episodes. Okay, in one of the episodes, Team Rocket makes a Pikachu robot that is, quote-unquote, practically the same as Pikachu outside of its talking mechanism, because it can't speak perfectly Pikachu. Who can? And Lucario and Cinderace, Ghost Pokemon, think that Team Rocket has captured Pikachu when they accidentally have kidnapped their own robot Pikachu. Why does this matter? Because Lucario is specifically defined as sensing aura in living beings, and yet it was charging after a robot Pikachu. Robot Pikachu does not have aura. Why was it chasing after robot Pikachu? It should have been the first to realize, oh, that's not Pikachu. We're all fine now. It's like, your Pokemon writers, you should know this.
That's bad. That's a bad gaffe.
Yeah. And I mean, and they can't say, oh, well, maybe they forgot. No, they can't, because when they did the episode with Karina returning to meet Ash, they had the Pokedex entry saying that it could sense people's aura. So why did they forget that when they were chasing after a robot Pikachu? Like, really? When they did the Sword and Shield arc, the Sword and Shield arc was great. That was great storytelling. They split up Ash and Go to have different stories to tell and build up the drama and suspense. The Pokemon battles were great. They actually recreated, like, perfectly Eternatus's final battle from the game, including it going Gigantamax and all that. That was awesome. That was a four episode arc. It was absolutely perfect. No critiques, except for Go catching Eternatus and getting registered as Pokedex. But I will forgive for now. But then they have Alola be one episode instead of two. They had like three filler episodes they could have just gotten rid of. One episode was an eating contest that, of course, Go won, because at this point, Go gets like everything he wants. So, and yes, I do know about that legendary Pokemon he captures later on, and I'm not happy about that. So I'm just like, I still like Pokemon Journeys, but whether being a Pokemon fan or just a writer, I'm seeing all these flaws, and I'm like, why? I know that Pokemon can be a deep masterclass in storytelling. I've been inspired by it many times in my adult life, and it's a beautiful thing. But then I see like these episodes, like the Robot Pikachu episode, and they literally have an episode where Meowth is sick, and Team Rocket's trying to translate what Pikachu is saying without him. Like, yeah, exactly. And like, I know you can do better, Pokemon. I know you can do better. Do it.
Let me ask you this question. I don't know if Will watched the show, but you can feel free to weigh in if you have, Will. I was at dinner with some buddies the other night, and we were passing the time on tiermaker.com, as many do. And the favorite cartoons was a tier list that we put together. Okay. So from S tier down to D tier, where would you put the Pokemon anime?
Like as a collection or as individual series?
That is a great question. So let's go with as a collection.
Okay.
Because that's how it was on this list.
Okay, as a collection, that's difficult. Alright. Because there's good series and there's bad series. That's just anime law. Alright. Okay, so S is the highest, so S through F?
S through D.
Being objective, I put it in B.
That's what we did.
I put it in B because at its core, it's even with Journeys, it's still the same story over and over again. It's Ash going through a journey, trying to get to the top, and then his side companions would be Go, Misty, Iris, Serena, and all of them trying to achieve their own journeys. Now, as time went on, they've gotten better at doing this. Like, for example, if we were doing the individual series, I'd put the XYZ series like near the top, because what they did with Serena and Ash in that series was amazing. I'm not just talking about their kiss, I'm talking about their individual journeys. Like, that was legendary. But then if you go back to Unova, oh, the horror, it's so much wrong with it. They turned Ash into a novice, and I don't even know why. But collectively, over the wider span, I'd say it's B, because the battles have gotten better over time for the most part. The stories are still, you know, hit or miss depending on the episode. There's always going to be the filler episodes to be like, why am I watching this? But then they hit those like really special arcs, like the Sword and Shield arc, like Meloetta. Like, that was a good one for Unova, and so on and so forth. And that just elevates it. But it's not S tier, because there are problems. And there is a lot of repetition.
Yeah.
All right. And A, I feel you could with individual series, like say the original and Johto, maybe Sinnoh to a certain extent, but not fully. And obviously XYZ. But yeah, I feel comfortable with B. I feel comfortable with B.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it was like Teen Titans was on the list. Like, Teen Titans is better.
Oh,
sure.
Teen Titans is S.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, people were arguing with me about that. It's like, you just haven't watched it if you're not saying it's S. It's S.
There are bad episodes. Yes, but again, that's the law. Okay, yeah. There's always going to be a bad episode. But if you look at their greater episodes, it more than makes up. One of my favorite episodes is the Control Freak episode where they go on the TV. Is my all time favorite.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a beautiful episode. But you know, like, that's S tier. Like, there's a reason people freaked out when Teen Titans Go came out, because we went from Teen Titans to Teen Titans Go. And like, that was a drop. Okay. Yep, 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 is it funny? At times. But was it worthy? Good. So yeah. I'm curious though, Tyler, on this list, what was D?
So it was tough because there were three of us putting it together. I insisted that Ed and Eddie be D. I think it's a terrible show. I don't think when I was like eight, I did not think it was funny, and I just stand by that. I just am not a fan. We also had Let's see. There's some we didn't really know about. Johnny Bravo was in our low tier.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that did not age well.
Yeah, I liked it.
Sadly, yeah.
I was a little higher on that. Futurama, I insisted, was lower tier.
Oh, I know many who will fight you on that.
It just wasn't for me. The top tier, of course, was Hey Arnold. Scooby-Doo, yeah. Where Are You?
Yes.
Thank you.
Dexter's Lab. Thank you, Kaiser. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And of course, Todd agrees, SpongeBob SquarePants.
No. Absolutely not.
And Teen Titans.
Not ready, okay? If that's your list, I am not ready.
We had Avatar The Last Airbender a tier down. I think that should be top tier.
That's S. Korra is B and
the original
best.
Avatar is great. Yes. They are great.
Yeah. Did it start out a little slow? Yes, they were still feeling it out. But by the time they get to the end of season one and then season two onward, it was, you know, top tier animation glory. And that's why Korra kind of stuttered, because it wasn't able, and it had its own behind the scenes issues. We won't go into it, but like anyone who knows the series knows what happened. But Korra tried like really hard, and it failed. It failed to match the quality. It was still good at points, undoubtedly, especially season three. But like, it could not live up to the legacy, and that's fine, because like, that was S tier legacy. All right, so. I'm gonna set a challenge for us because of what Tyler just did. How about next week for our main event, we try and do a tier list of the Nintendo main franchises.
I'm in.
So we'll do first, and we'll discuss this later, but we'll do our individual rankings, and then we united have to try and agree on where is a fair placement for each.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and we'll go over the list beforehand, obviously, to show like what ones we have to write. Because obviously, like if we do Ice Climbers, that would be stupid because that's one game. But like, we need to do like Metroid and Pokemon and Yoshi and all of them.
The big ones and the sub ones. Yeah,
the big ones and a few sub ones. So, all right. So yeah, there. I like it. I like that we're already a week ahead of schedule. That's a rare thing. All right, but for this main event, we're going to be talking about the Monster Hunter franchise, because as you noted all episodes, it's been a big thing with the release of Monster Hunter Rise on Switch. We got Monster Hunter Stories 2 Wings of Ruin coming out. Monster Hunter World was a massive thing on the PlayStation and PC. It came out to Xbox too, right? Or was that PlayStation exclusive?
Because I know it was originally on the PSP. That's where it first got its start here in the States.
No, talking about World.
World. I think it was. I need to go and check. I don't think so.
Anyway, but World helped explode it in the West, because it was very much kind of like a Fire Emblem thing where it was big in Japan, but then only recently got its footing in the West. So we're going to talk about what makes this franchise so great, why people might want to get into it now, where this could go in the future. We'll do this in a Nintendo discussion. All right, and Will, since you are our resident, I almost said Resident Evil.
I am part evil. I am part evil in sense. But to answer your question, yes, it was Xbox. It is also on Xbox One and Microsoft Windows. Yeah,
I couldn't remember. I think they maybe had like a release gap, but I couldn't remember. Anyway, but since you are a resident Monster Hunter expert, for lack of a better term, why don't you explain why you think this game has had such a long reign, despite being at first a very niche franchise.
Mm-mm. So, I mean, granted, I'm not as intricate in the franchise as like many other, because like I know like a couple of friends who is like very heavily like they're all interested in the lore of the Elder Dragons, all these different species, the monsters that have been staples throughout these years, the Tigrexes, the Zenogers, the Raphalos, the Riphians, of course, just all these monsters. It's just like they have their own stories of its own, because like when I was talking to my friend who's a very heavy expert on the Monster Hunters, like I was asked like what kinds of these monsters are there, like these different, its own lore, its own like species, like what they're like. Elder Dragon stars just like are big as mountains. Like, you thought SCP lore was deep? Like, yeah, Monster Hunter lore can run pretty deep as well. So like that's kind of the one of the major aspects of Monster Hunter that's very appealing, because like you all really about these different tales, the Elder Dragons, like different elementals, the Fafnir, the Tigret, again, all these different crazy monsters that like so varied but so unique. And the one thing that's like what my friend told me is that like all these monsters, at least from the creative process from Capcom, all these monsters are based on real life. So it's not just out of nowhere. Like, no, just put legs here, a fang there, a scales there. No, all these monsters have a real world references to like either be cats, dogs, or even like in pop cultures like swan dancers or even swans themselves. So like a lot of these monsters have their real world counterparts to like really based off of. So you can see like, oh, is that monster based on a cat or is that based on a dog or like whatever it may be. So that's one of the main appeals. But another, I think that the main appeal of the Monster Hunter franchise ever since from the first game is because one, obviously the monsters, and we're just going with friends just to hunt these monsters. I guess it's also because it was a big social thing as well. Like, as you know, Japan is like a very close nation, so always wanted to like try to like get together as much as possible. I mean, that's how it generally is in Eastern culture, to say the least. So when people, even from full-on strangers, like when they join up together in these monster hunts, like you can also join in a hunting party, or you can set a hunting party and then people would just join in randomly, like here in Monster Hunter Rise. Like you just get that kind of like sense of connection, like, oh, another person's coming in, sweet. And like, yeah, just joining in together, just uniting for a cause, that simple thing of hunting monsters is that's kind of like one of the main appeals about this game. It's also a very social thing as well. And of course, naturally, during the age of COVID and everyone being locked down, I think a lot of people want to like talk to people again. Like, sure, we had Animal Crossing, which that was a major thing that kind of like helped it with that social isolation. But yeah, Monster Hunter definitely helps out, especially in Japan. Like, yeah, just being more social, like as a very social game, because like you talk about like, yeah, I had this moment when I faced up against Magmala, and this like when Magmala is literally, it can be also described as like Todd, you said describe it as a dog, but this is a dog that can actually basically, I kid you not, the Magmala can basically do a Wingardium Leviosa against you. Will actually throw a freaking wand with his tail and shoot a big laser beam at you. I kid you not.
So is its name Hermione?
I guess in a sense, but even much more grumpier, but I digress.
I don't know, Hermione's pretty grumpy. I'm just saying, like, if you get between her and her books, I'm just saying. Leviosa, not Leviosa.
Yeah, just like the Mike Milo is just like such, like take an example of the Magmala and also like the other different poster child monsters of the franchise. Like it's just something that's just so unique, especially when you fight against a very tough monster. I guess this is say like before the whole Dark Souls thing, like you go face a giant hard monster and always get beaten so many times, but it's not to that extent. It's not obviously not From Software, it's like just almost statistically beat you down. Like With Monster Hunter is like, it is like kind of has that well balanced. You can't actually beat these monsters, no problem. But there will be like certain monsters will be a pain in the butt to fight. But like such as that one unicorn in Monster Hunter World, which a lot of people dread so much. But it's just like once you beat it, like, but there is something that is very fun again fighting up these monsters. Like, sure, like there is that moment like they will knock you out to stun you. Like they will beat you down to some extent. Like some monsters are easy, some of them are just brutally difficult. But there is just that sense of it's fun. Like if anyone else has watched Maximilian Dude's videos recently when playing a Monster Hunter Rise, it's just like again joining up with friends and just like even though it's just like a challenging boss fight when facing off against the Magmala. It's very fun. Like, there's just that. I'm not sure how it's best described because you actually have to, like, play it yourself. I mean, it definitely comes from experience. But once you, like, join up with a couple of guys, three more people, as accordingly with friends of your own circles, like, yeah, just joining up, like, going riding along, like, riding to the sunset, right up a pot with your hunting party. And then, like, yeah, just go face against these great titans, dragons, just Yeah, there's just nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And sure, there are definitely other games like Tokiden who also try to like go with the formula, try to copy the formula, and some actually has been a bit better, arguably, from Koei Tecmo. But yeah, with Monster Hunter, it's just like a franchise that it's just something about it that it just resonates a lot more better. Maybe it's just because of the monsters, maybe because of the whole variety of weapons and different play styles. There's just something is it about it. I mean, I can't speak for every friend because I'm not an expert here, but just out of the three of us, it's just a series that is, the best way I describe it is, it's very wondrous. I mean, throughout the games, there's to have its own separate lore, but once you like really delve into it, and of course, like this witness these monsters in action, like it's almost like a nature documentary in a sense.
Yeah, I think what captivated me with this one, and what made me want to grab it is, and this is maybe a little unnecessarily deep, but it feels like it speaks to something in human nature, like the excitement, just that natural rush of going out into the wilderness to hunt down these beasts. I think that that's just like that's part of what it means to be human, going back, you know, to the beginning of our species. We were out there, we were hunters. And I think that this game kind of understands that. And I think that there is a real excitement to facing down these giant beasts that I think is just kind of almost inherent in being a human being.
I think you touched on something good right on there. Because like when you just said that, I'm also kind of reminded way back when I was a child, I used to love dinosaurs. Like, but of course, naturally, once I grew up and, of course, I watched the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World, yeah, that's when I started my development about fear. And yeah, unfortunately, I didn't really like dinosaurs again. But then I think it's kind of like that wondrous thing of like during the time of like when Jurassic Park was trending back in the early years. Like, yeah, like all these different species, just like it's just that wonder, that excitement. And yeah, it definitely kind of goes back into the basic things of our species in a sense that you're a hunter, you go face up all these monsters. Like, hey, why not go face up against the giant T-Rex? I mean, sure, there is that the Turok series, there's definitely that has done that before. But with Monster Hunter, it's like there's more things to hunt. Like, yeah, a Magma, a Zenogre, like giant mudfish, the Diablos is like. Yeah, there's definitely a sense of like, yeah, I want there. That's my target. That's my prey. I want to get it. So
and working
yeah.
in a group too, like you said, the multiplayer element is equally as exciting. That collaboration, that strategy that goes into it, it's definitely something that I think is core to the human social experience.
Yeah, and there's of course naturally you always see like I think many franchises and also media like always reference to Monster Hunter regarding to like yeah why is that thing having a big bomb, like oh okay. And I actually had to get explained to this, like yeah, if you actually hit because like the first damage, if you see a monster sleeping and you do any kind of damage, you always do double the damage. So a lot of people always like place bombs next to him, like 3 bombs, 5 bombs, whatever it may be, and just set it off to get that extra boost damage before you wake him up. And that actually had to be explained to that. So you, if you see like that reference everywhere in any kind of media, that's where it came from. So, but yeah, the whole franchise of it all, like, it as you said, like, it's definitely the social experiment. And just heck, even sometimes I gotta give props to even the characters themselves. Like, sure, you make your own custom character, but I think it's also the supporting cast that also makes it very appealing as well. Like Monster Hunter World, you have your handler, you also have all these different supporting casts. Which I unfortunately haven't played World. I really gotta probably try it one of these days. But yeah, World definitely has an interesting cast. But and here in Rise, like personally, again, I love the Japanese aesthetic. I love like how it's just very based on samurai culture, samurai ninja culture, and like you recognize these characters. And of course, naturally, I think like one of the most appealing things is obviously the animals. And of course, the palicos. First, it was the palicos, which again, if you like cats, like you gotta love cats. You gotta love palicos, and they're just so bloody adorable. But now with Rise, with Palamis, like. I'll kid you not, these things are cute as heck. Like, you thought cats were cute. The Palamutes, like, when you customize your own doggy, is just like, oh my god. I have seen people, like, gush over like an hour trying to make their best cat or dog Palamute. It's just, yeah. So that's kind of the one thing. And yeah, as much as I don't want to talk about it, like, yeah, I'm just going to go briefly, just like, we'll not talk too much about the whole Monster Hunter movie, which we do not talk about. We just do not talk about it. It's definitely not a representation of the Monster franchise. I mean, sure, it has the Palicos, it has some of the monsters and the weapons, which, okay, you did some research. But that movie was not a representation of the franchise itself. It was just, no, you don't do that. But it was just something about the game itself that you cannot replicate. Like, sure, some have tried, the movie tried, but once you actually play this game and actually invest in the time to, yes, capture monsters, and also in the battle stadiums of all these challenges, and just, like, even facing three monsters at the same time, like, you face off against these impossible odds, these crazy odds, but yeah, if you can actually manage to pull it off, you just feel that sense of accomplishment. So I think that's also one of another major appeal of the series itself. It's just like, there's just, again, you see a wall and you want to overcome it. I think that's kind of like the basic principle of Monster Hunter. It's like, there is something, even like a giant dragon, like, or something that's like so leagues above you, but you still want to take it on anyway. So I guess that's the thing. Because that's the thing as well. Like, there is no levels. You only just get better equipment, armor, weapons, and that's it. There is no level system here. So all you really do is just your set of armor, your items, and your skills. It's not about grinding up with levels or numbers. It's all about your skill. So I think that's also another reason why this game is so popular as well.
Yeah, I think on the movie as well, just touching on that, unless it's like Godzilla versus Kong, and even then you have some connection to the characters. Good movie is like about people, so I don't know why they thought this was a great fit for the theaters, but it clearly wasn't. Todd, you have not played any Monster Hunter games.
I have not.
But that being said, what would it take to get you into this?
Well, I think it would take a Capcom coming to me and go, Todd, we want you to play the game. And they go, okay, I have a price. And they go, okay, what's your price? I would like a customized Nintendo Switch in Monster Hunter style. Like, okay, Todd, we can give you that. Oh, but that's not all. Okay, what else do you need, Todd? I need $1 million! No, I kid. Honestly, it's just, it's kind of like a feeling. You know, like, you sometimes know when you want to play a game, when you don't. Like, there have been Nintendo franchises that I have not touched because I just don't think I'll have a connection to it like some other ones. Like, Animal Crossing is a great example of this. Do I think I could have fun in Animal Crossing? Absolutely. Do I have the time to dedicate to Animal Crossing to make it my own and not just have spent $50 or $60 on this? Not at present. And that's okay. And that's okay, because, you know, where are we at, like 22, 23 million people bought Animal Crossing, and they're loving it for the most part. And that's awesome. Monster Hunter is the same way. I don't mind challenging my games. Again, I play, you know, challenging titles like Fire Emblem, and I've played certain war titles, like strategy war titles. I like challenges, but I don't like, you know, the unnecessary grinding. And every trailer, or even Honest Trailer, we should have mentioned that earlier, they did Honest for Bravely Default, and it was hilarious. But like every trailer, Honest Trailer, and like analysis, I say, like, you have to have the whole get good to beat it. And there was a point, I think it was on the Wii, was Monster Hunter Try. And I was like, you know, that kind of looks interesting. You know, I like monsters. And then I watched like the review for it. I think X-Play did it. And they were talking about like its difficulty and its challenge and how you have to grind.
Yes.
To, you know, to get to the level to where you want to be. And I'm just like, you know, no. So it, and to be fair, based on what I've heard about World and even Rise, they've toned it down a little bit to where it's a little bit easier to process and digest, and that's awesome, and I'm glad. But, you know, even though I feel that I could enjoy this game to a certain degree, especially if I have like say 3 months of no games to look forward to, I just have this feeling that it won't connect with me as much as it has with Will, who talked for 2 hours before in this segment. But not kidding, it was an hour and a half. But And I it's just like a feeling. Like, you look at the game and you go, I'm not sure I'm going to like this as much as I should. Now, in contrast, when we were talking about Project Triangle Strategy, the moment I saw that trailer and, like, the idea of, like, you know, the scales of conviction and the way the paths can branch, and even though I had never, till that demo, tried a tactics-style strategy game, I was still wanting to try it because I thought, you know, I feel like I could have some fun with this. And I trusted the developers, who are, of course, behind Octopath and Bravely Default. But with this one, because it's had such a history of, like, only being, like, Japan beloved and, you know, kind of tolerated in the West until World came along, I just don't have that initial connection to say, you know, maybe I should try this. Will I one day? We honestly kind of came close when who was it? Someone had on our site had an extra code.
Yeah, Cam.
And I was like, you know, maybe I should ask for it. And then I thought about it and I'm like, no. And then Keith said he wanted to stream something. So let him have it. He deserves a free game. So I was just like, it's not that I'm insulting the series. I really am not. I have no feelings on it one way or the other outside of respect that it's been so long that it's, you know, had this incredible run where it's gone from, you know, Japan niche to worldwide to having a terrible movie with Mila Jovovich. But you know, I just, it would take something special. I'm going to probably try Wings of Ruin, Monster Hunter Stories 2, because I think it's going to have more of an RPG feel than a pure Monster Hunter feel. And so I'm going to try that and see where it goes. So that's my out of my comfort zone game, if you remember our supplemental draft.
I do.
I'm glad you do. See, and you have completed yours. You're halfway to completing yours. You've bought the game, Tyler. Now you need to play it. Don't pull a Splatoon on this, okay?
I won't.
Uh-huh. So, but, you know, I'm going to try that. And maybe if that game goes well for me, I might try the next one. Because based on this, we're probably going to get another Monster Hunter game on the Switch before time runs out. So we'll have to see. But for me, it's just I don't have that initial connection, that drive to say, you know what, I want to try this. So, and that's all it is.
I mean,
I also want to note that I can't get the idea of what Will alluded to earlier with this being like a nature documentary.
Because, I mean, in a sense, because in this game, you actually can take photos of these monsters. So
no,
you can
I just imagine it like this. Oh, we now observe the Rathalos in his natural environment, being the apex predator of the region. Oh, dear. I believe those are hunters. Oh, no. They do not understand that the Rathalos is not one that can be defeated easily. Oh, look, they're bringing out the weapons. Oh, those are rather large weapons. We'll see now. Let's wait and see if it works. Oh, dear. Rathalos has burned into a cinder. There you go. That's why you do not attack the Rathalos without being properly prepared. It's a classic hunter mistake.
I mean, yeah, there is definitely that. I mean, granted. But, I don't know. Is the series itself is like it just kind of goes with that. Like even when I'm playing with in Rise, like sure you could definitely take photos. I mean I still have fun definitely actually reading the lore of these different creatures and taking photos themselves. So there's that obviously, but yeah, just, like. With the franchise and how I just like personally for me how I got into it is because like I always hear about these great things of like all these great monsters. As I said, like monsters can be just big as the world itself. Like just basically the scale of how these monsters can be, like from Elder Dragons to all that. I mean, I've said before, and just like hear my friend just really like gush about it. It's like okay, if it's really that great, I want to try it in. And it's like. And of course, naturally, the social experiment I play with other friends outside with these hunts. And again, like the hunts themselves can be very fun, like because the hunts themselves is like it's obviously they're not gonna be the same hunts as everything else. I think that's also a thing that also that gets you hooked in because like even though you're fighting the same monster again and again, be it for the monster themselves, it's never the same. I mean, sure, you can probably say that to anything, be it like a multiplayer match or something like a Splatoon 2 match or something of that sort, or hunting things. Sure, you could probably give that argument against it, but once you face off in Monster Hunter, again, geez, just it's just not the same. It's just like, yeah, hunting and just like, especially when it's a fun monster, like, yeah, I don't mind going through the grinder again because like it's just so much fun. Like for example, like I guess it's like a very fun boss fight that you want to go again and again and again. Like unless like you replay the entire game again, like with a certain other, I don't know, like a certain, like a very like well Mario boss fight that you played in your time.
Yeah.
Like there's just a boss fight that is just so much fun. Like, please, I just want to get that feeling again. To like, it's just like, yeah, I want to go back in. I just want to go, like, even if I die three times over, or my party dies frequently, it's like, it's just, it's so much fun. And I think that's kind of also the main reason why. It's just like, it is a fun game. Like, sure, like, of course, yeah, the grinding is definitely a very fair argument against it. But if you can find some fun out of it, especially like the wars, the armor sets, like just improving your character how you will, the customization, which, again, another great plus, is just like, like, if you don't mind, and of course, naturally, you have fun in these hunts, then I think that's kind of the main mission statement of Monster Hunter. It's just like, if you have fun with these hunts, I think you wouldn't even don't mind going through the ring again, just because it's just so much, it's fun content, if you find it. So,
Tyler?
Yeah?
You want to know what Will's monologue right there just reminded me of? A SpongeBob SquarePants meme. Big tough guy goes into a bar area and goes, hey, how tough are you? And here's how I picture it. He goes, how tough are you? I grinded 100 hours to fight one boss. Yeah, so it was in Monster Hunter. It's like, tell me I'm wrong, Will. Tell me I'm wrong! Exactly, you can't.
Heck, as far as I'm concerned, I'm the Boros, the only cautious here, so I'll grind to level 100. Again, I did take my time with Fire Emblem Three Houses, but
this
I want to be
disgusting.
Those OP.
The
sorry.
Way Will played Fire Emblem Three Houses was disgusting, and I'm still offended by it.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, too. Oh, you're a high-class Fire Emblem fan over there.
All right, well, with that, we are going to end this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you which franchise Nintendo should lean less on, and we actually asked you this time. We truly, I put the poll up. 36% of you said Kirby, 36% of you said Pokemon, 9% of you said Splatoon, and 18% of you said Mario.
Wow, I'm actually surprised Kirby, you know, tied for the lead. That's surprising. I honestly thought I was reaching a little bit, because, you know, like, are people going to understand that there's a lot of Kirby games out there? Apparently so. All right, so for this week's poll question that Tyler will absolutely write right now, it's quite simple.
Nobody tells me what to do.
I'm the host, and you will listen to me. All right, we'll feed you to Rothalos. Roar. So, the question is, are you going to get Monster Hunter Rise? Yes, no, wait and see. So, and of course, let us know what your thoughts on with everything, including what are your initial thoughts on Monster Hunter Rise? Or if you've already played it, what do you think of the game so far? Are you excited for Project Triangle Strategy when it comes out? What was your favorite April Fool's joke that happened in the gaming world? And everything else. So let us know in the comments below, and we'll talk to you next time. So, for Tellius, Tyler, and Warrior, well, I am Triforce Todd. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag!